You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, it's your turn to hit it.
Yeehaw!
Hey, welcome. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and we're coming to you live and clear from beautiful Liberty Village here in the Big Smoke. They used to call it always the Big Smoke.
I don't know why.
I don't know, because as you cross Highway 7, you get this sort of haze.
We'll have to call Mike Farley and ask him.
The Big Smoke. Today we've got a special guest. We have Ray Chan with us from the CAA, which stands for...
Canadian Automobile Association.
I love it. I think his mic is off. Now it's on.
There we go. Perfect.
Let's try it again.
It's from the CAA.
The Canadian Automobile Association.
Good morning, Ray. Ray's going to talk about the worst roads in Canada, the worst towing in Canada, and international driver's license, stuff that I almost forgot about. I got a license once like that in Germany.
Yeah?
Yeah. You have license? Yes, officer. Very good. That's okay. Love it. Okay. $5, please. All right. We're going to be talking also with Terry Lobson. Terry's with the Classic Car Auction, otherwise known as Classic Car Productions.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah, I think it's Classic.
Well, they don't produce cars.
No, but I forgot.
They make an auction, though.
CPPauctions.ca, by the way, if you're looking. We're going to be talking about some of the amazing cars they got this year. GT40. They got a GT40 there, which has got to be worth $250,000, $300,000, and I hope they get it.
Well, that's where you should put your Crossfire. It's a classic.
Yeah, but it's not an auction value.
Why not?
It's not good enough.
Well, you know what? If you watch those car shows now, they like the rat rods, you know?
Yeah, mine's more rat rod than it is car.
They want the rashes to show. They want the rust to
mine's
show.
Mine's more rat than it is classic. We'll go from there. And speaking of rats, Steven is here. He's working the camera. Go to Facebook.com/forward Dave's Corner Garage. Facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage. And you can pick us up on Behind the Mic. And that's it. Take a break, and we'll come back with Ray Chan from the CAA, and we'll talk about the worst roads in Canada. And you're not going to believe it, but Dufferin Street is one of the worst roads in Canada forever.
Well, you told me your driveway was really bad.
It is pretty serious.
You think you get the city to come over and patch it?
I doubt it. They usually just dig it up and they put more crap in it.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
This is Dave's Corner Garage, and in studios this hour, we have Ray Chan from CAA, along with Alan Gelman, who's wearing a brand new shirt because we're on Facebook.com.
It's clean. I put a new shirt on.
And
I shaved, too.
Dave, who didn't shave, is looking bewildered. Over to you.
Because I'm hearing voices out of the... Steve's actually in another studio, and he's talking back towards our
Steve's
studio.
In the closet.
Is that where it is?
I'm in the closet, apparently, with the rest of the rats. So listen, before you get into it, we're on Facebook Live. So if you go to Facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage.
Yes.
You can, because some people are shy, like Dave and Al. You can just write in what your questions may be for potholes in the city and everything else to do with CAA. Dave, with his gray shirt on, all yours.
Okay. Ray is with us from the CAA, and you annually go for the world's worst roads. I think it was 10 years already?
It's 16 years, actually, Dave.
Yes.
You must have hit a pothole and whacked your head.
16 years of doing the world's
16 years of doing the worst roads here in the province of Ontario, and we still seem to be having the same problems that we did during year one.
I think, you know what, you're in a growth industry.
maybe we are. Yeah,
this winter, absolutely. Anyways, eh?
Unbelievable. I mean, some of these potholes are so big. I mean, I saw a guy back a boat up. And just
yeah, I saw one last week. It was marked deep end and shallow end, actually.
So what is the world's worst road right now?
The worst road, actually, 2 years running now, is actually Burlington Street East, which is located in Hamilton. The good people of Ontario have nominated that as their worst road, and for good reason, because it's chock full of potholes and crumbling pavement.
Do you actually get a reaction from the local government about, you know, taking this list and actually going there and fixing it?
Well, we do and we don't. So first of all, you know, we run this campaign each and every year. And it's not meant to shame local governments. It's really meant to give a voice to the local public, because we've heard time and time again from people, I don't have the time, or I don't understand where I need to direct this complaint to, which is why we run this campaign each and every year. It's an advocacy campaign. It's a grassroots campaign. And we want people to let us know what some of their challenges, what some of their pain points are with their daily commute.
So it's really to help inform the the municipality as you know, as far as where that particular pothole is.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, who knows best about where the pain points are in their daily commute than the people that actually use the roads themselves? And when I mean road users, I literally mean every single road user. So whether or not you're a motorist, you're a cyclist or a pedestrian or even a transit rider, we want to get your feedback and understand what some of the challenges are on your daily commute.
Now, there's always an issue of damage. Like, no, if you want to go ahead and go after the city, can you?
You can. Here in the city of Toronto and various municipalities, there is often a claims process. So here in the city, you'd contact someone like a 311 to lodge that particular complaint. We always advise people to document it quite well. So take good pictures, indicate exactly where it was that this pothole or this crumbling pavement occurred. See if you have any witness information. What was the weather like that day? Just as much detail as possible in order to file a claim. Contact the city, let them know about these particular problems, because if they don't know about it, it's not going to get fixed.
Will they actually pay, or do they just, it's all red tape?
You are there nothing. Unicorns?
Yeah.
I was reading in the paper actually earlier a couple months ago about the payment rate within the city. I think it's about 60% or so. So it's fairly high.
Yeah.
Those numbers, I can tell you, having come from the city a number of years ago and working there, it was actually quite low. We were probably looking at about 10% rate of actual payout. So it's getting higher. And I think municipal governments are recognizing that they need to invest in infrastructure spending. If they don't want those claims to come in, they need to make sure they have the dollars ready and available to allocate annually towards road improvements.
Do municipalities self-insure?
I'm not sure about that.
I think they do.
That's
They're
a good
large
question.
Enough to self-insure.
Yeah, for example, like TTC.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cover it themselves.
Right. And the question also is, if you make a claim with your own insurance, it's actually a collision.
It is. And the problem with doing that is, do you really want to submit a claim for something that's maybe only going to cost you about $200? If you're going to be paying a $500 deductible on that,
you lose.
You're ending up losing money in the end, and it's not worthwhile for you.
Yeah, but if you've got a high-end sports car, it could be
wait. It doesn't have to be a high-end sports car anymore. We had a lady in a brand-new Honda Accord. And, of course, she didn't know that the car comes with fans. I mean, she liked the wheels.
Yeah.
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah, the thin ones.
The 20. Yes. you got a 20-inch mag wheel that has a 40 or 50 series tire on it that will absorb nothing.
Yeah.
Okay? You feel the shadows when you cross them in that car. So when you hit any type of, you know, pothole at all or curb, you ruin the wheel. You ruin the tire. That's $1,000. That's provided that that just took the impact. I've seen them go up to $3,000 or $4,000, depending on the angle of that attack.
So it's worth making the claim.
Well, if you have a big one, yes. But as you say, Ray.
Well, there's other things too, right? I mean, it could affect your alignment. You could scrape the undercarriage of your vehicle.
Correct.
You know, your blown out shocks, dented rims are a very common thing, right? I mean, all of these costs certainly add up in the end. So it could be quite costly to the pocketbooks of motorists out there.
I like my low profile tires until I went through the first winter. And it was like, whoop.
Yeah, big mistake.
So, Ray, how does, if you're living in some area of the Greater Toronto area or outside of the GTA, how do you report a pothole that's near you?
Well, we actually have something here in the province of Ontario where municipalities have to abide by, which is called minimum maintenance standards. And what do I mean by that? Municipalities, once they know or they're aware about potholes in their community, they have anywhere between 4 to 30 days, I believe, in order to get that pothole filled.
Wow.
But they can only do so if they're actually aware of the pothole. So if they're not aware of the pothole, they can't be, you know, expected to be liable for that or go out there and actually fill it. So, which is why this campaign is really important. We want people to tell us what the challenges are. If municipal governments or the provincial government along our highways don't know where these deficiencies are, they simply can't get to all of them. So, which is why it's very important that people tell us where these deficiencies are.
You know, even the fact that you're making us more aware, most people will just sort of drive around it and forget about it. But you're making us more aware that there is another way of handling it.
So we actually did a survey in late March, CA did. We found that 71% of people, road users who were identified, actually said that they know of some sort of deficiency with their daily commute, whether it be potholes or crumbling pavement or,
yes,
you know, missing sidewalks in particular areas. There is an inherent lack of funding available and funding available to fix these particular roads. So 67% of people actually said that they've done nothing about it. They know about it, but they've done nothing about it.
Yeah, which, just drive around it and forget about it.
Which is why this campaign is extremely important.
Well, driving around, it's an easy answer, but most of the time you whack it and then you go... Well, you go, oh, F, and, you know.
My wife is driving me back and forth. She knows every pothole on the hill.
Oh, my wife gave me heck because I should have remembered that there's a pothole in that same spot.
I said, well, if you remembered, why didn't you tell me to move?
We'll return to more of the marital bliss about potholes. Ray, what's the website once again so people can follow it while they're listening to the show?
It's caaworseroads.com, and we're live as of March the 26th.
Excellent. Okay, he's with us for the entire hour, so we welcome your calls. We got some people calling in soon, and we'll get to those pretty soon. This is Dave's Corner Garage on facebook.com/live, and that's where we wanted to have you write in with any questions you may have. All right? You know what I mean? You guys got your lawyers ready for your wives?
Call a tow truck. Back it in right now.
I'm getting to the back seat again.
Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're talking about CAA and all the pothole problems going on. And there's a bunch going on today.
And we got a caller who's a query or a point to be made specifically.
I should talk to your wife
about potholes. No, he's not a marital counselor.
Okay.
We got Pat in Toronto. Pat, what's going on?
Yes, I had an experience last year. Took out both rims and tires on my car in February and reported immediately to 311. And that was a bit of an experience that I could get into. $1,600 damage. I finally got paid in full the end of August.
You actually did get paid, though. I mean, that's the good story because very rarely do they actually pay.
It may help that I was at that time a municipal councillor at another municipality. seriously, when I mentioned that, it was like I was on a different level.
Okay.
Because you're one of the boys.
So the scary part, and as I say, when I'm walking my dog or driving, especially when I'm walking the dog, I make a note of them. And there was one just down at the end of our street. It took 2 weeks to get fixed. But the other day I drove along the same road on not an area where I normally drive. There must have been 10 in the next block. But because somebody hasn't reported them, there's nothing's been done.
Well, that was the point that Ray was making, that, you know, people hit the pothole and they swear to themselves, but they don't do the next step, which is to pick up the phone.
Ray. No, don't blame them. I don't understand. There's a couple of things.
Okay.
Why the city doesn't get somebody just to drive those roads.
Right.
Secondly, I got all sorts of pushback as to why can't you mark these spots? Oh, I got stories about, well, the paint wouldn't stick, whatever. So what happens is, if it takes 2 weeks, how many other people have hit the same hole and done more damage? So it's probably costing us 2-3 times as much because the city doesn't have an organized program.
Ray, if I could ask, when you asked for compensation, how did you do it? You had to take pictures, and was there forms?
Oh, yeah, and you have to understand, I'm a CPA, so I had thought of everything. I had thought of the wear and tear, et cetera. I had all the invoices. I didn't have one bit of pushback. Other than it took 6 months.
Wow.
And I would suggest that in addition to the $1,600 that I got back, I'll make you a bet there was at least $1,600 of administrative time paid by the city, by the outside organization, et cetera.
So, Pat, so what do you think is the solution here?
Well, first of all, the one solution is have people patrol these streets. It doesn't take that long to drive down the street.
Well, the police is out there anyways. The police is doing patrols all day.
Well, if they have better stuff to do than bottles.
I agree with you. The other thought I've had, and I've suggested it to my counselor, Matlow, I said, why shouldn't there be a contest as to how many potholes you identify and be some sort of contest?
Well, and filled, of course.
Well,
this is only, if I could just jump in, this is only an hour show.
Okay, you've heard my story. Whoa, it only took 6 months to get repaid.
That's not bad.
Repaid in full.
Pat, and you were lucky only because you knew somebody.
No, I didn't know anybody. I just mentioned the magic word.
Yeah, all right, Pat, thanks for calling in with that.
I just mentioned I have an AK-47.
Maybe everyone needs to call in and mention that they're a municipal councilor somewhere and get...
that's a good idea.
Fascinating.
Get those claims processed right away.
But, I mean, the city trucks are all over the place. I see them driving all the time.
So I can make a comment on that, actually.
Go ahead.
So city trucks actually do drive around on a regular basis, and they are looking for puddles. And I think the challenge is that within the city of Toronto, we have about 7,000 kilometers worth of roadway. That's a lot of roadway for a municipality. And given the size and the budget and the manpower that's out there, city crews simply can't be everywhere and attend to every single pothole within the city. Wow. So, which is why it's important through campaigns like the CA Worst Roads campaign and, contacting your local councillors and the mayor and municipal officials and 311 as well. It's important that they know about these particular potholes so that they can be filled in a timely manner. And that's what the maintenance standards.
So the bottom line is, you're saying if you see a pothole, call 311 right away?
Absolutely. Otherwise, it's going to take longer to get filled. And as that last caller said, more people are going to go through that area. They're going to potentially damage their vehicle, and it's just going to be bad for everybody. So the sooner we get to it, the better.
And if you want to report it to the Worst Roads campaign, how do they do that?
So again, that website, it's going to be live as of March 26th. We're going to be launching this year, and the campaign runs until April the 26th. And, the public is encouraged to go to caaworstroads.com and nominate their worst road.
And it's an important thing. It's raising awareness. And it takes a while. I mean, we're all sort of prognosticators, and we just don't want to get to it. But these guys are out there early in the morning, and they're hammering down and all this stuff. What are you laughing about, Gelman?
I didn't know what a prognosticator was.
Well, I just made it up. It sounded good. It's early in the morning. Procrastinator.
Oh, that's what. Okay.
All right. We can play Hummingbird soon.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a
quick
break.
Now they know how many holes it takes to fill the Albert Hall.
When we come back, we're going to take some of your calls with the lines are filling up. If you've got a car question, now's the time to call in. Or if you've got a pothole question, we'll talk about that too. So it's Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and I figured out the words, so it is procrastinate, so Al can butcher me for the rest of the hour.
I thought that was a hybrid word.
Oh, go away. Back to Dave and Al and Ray Chan in from CAA.
Well, we're talking about potholes, and the phones are ringing off the wall.
Seriously.
How many can there be?
But at least five.
Well, we got Jennifer in Scarborough who's got a solution. Jennifer?
Hi.
Hi, Jenny.
I have a solution to who should report the potholes.
Who should report them? Who? We all should.
Drivers.
Yes.
Because they must create or go over tons of them.
You're absolutely right, especially the buses.
Yeah, and they should also report when the streetlights are out.
They're too busy trying to see who paid to get on the bus.
or being safe.
Or snuck on the bus.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, I'm always amazed, and there's nothing bad, but women drivers on buses, small women are driving these giant buses, and I'm going, how does she handle that thing?
Careful.
Very well.
I don't want to go there.
Why not?
It's actually amazing to me.
What about short male drivers?
I always just thought that, a bus driver would have to be masculine and manly, and it's just amazing to me. But that's okay. I'm old.
Jennifer, thanks for calling in with that suggestion.
You're welcome.
That won't go very far at home. All righty. We're going to be talking with Robert from Scarborough, and he's got a criticism for potholes. Robert.
I'm allowed to do that?
Why not?
Okay. I phoned the pothole patrol there about 3 weeks ago. I have an intersection of a street just down the street from me. There's three big potholes. One was about 2 feet across, wow, about 6 inches deep. The guys came up in a truck. It was heated by propane, this asphalt. Another truck pulled up with two guys with white hats. They stood and watched. These two guys get out, scooped it in, put it down, packed it with the shovel, drove off. 3 weeks later, it's all out of the hole again, because years ago they used to have these stampers, and they heated them, and they would pound it down. But now it's just sitting there rough, and the cars go over it and throw it all out again. So I think they need a better method.
I think that, and also the volume of traffic that we have nowadays, it's just unbelievable how much traffic is passing by. It used to be so much quieter and easier, and nowadays, bang, 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 bang. It's like 100 cars, 1,000 cars.
Well, time's money, and, I guess the problem is they have so many potholes they have to try to attend to. They don't have the time.
They have to come back in about a month and do it again. So
when is it? When do they say I can't fix the pothole? I got to repave the street. I mean, I've seen streets that are completely falling apart.
Yeah, well, you know, municipal governments have to plan for the future. And we've been saying this throughout the campaign, that they've got to plan in advance and figure out how much money to allocate and to where. So I'm not just talking about annual budget cycles. I'm talking about 5, 10, 15 years from now. Yeah. What's the plan to actually improve these roads? And I've said it time and time again that it's not the quality of the asphalt or the cement that goes into the actual hole itself, but how that hole is actually filled. So this caller is actually raising a very good point about the whole stamping process and about getting some of that liquid and moisture out of there, because if you don't simply get all that water out there, once we go through this freeze cycle again, it's going to expand and you're going to end up causing a bigger hole than what was originally there. And you're going back constantly to repair it again, and it's costing more time, more money, more resources to do it. So yeah, if you're going to do it right the first time.
That's a good point, too, because if you get it gets cold, and all of a sudden you get a thaw like now, but it gets cold again, you're going to get grief from everybody saying, well, why aren't you doing it right now when you're actually, it's more economically feasible to wait.
Well, not just wait, but at a certain point in time, you have to rebuild the road to the traffic standard. I mean, some of these roads are for, like Bathurst Street is designed for heavy traffic, but the side streets aren't. Mm-hmm. So when you get heavy traffic going in side streets, it just falls apart.
Yep.
The problem with these bigger roads, too, is that they're so great in length. I mean, we've had streets like Dufferin, Bathurst, as you had mentioned, Steeles, and Bayview Avenue. These are all long stretches of road. Governments simply don't have all the money to repave an entire stretch of road, nor is there enough time in construction season to actually repave the whole thing. So they're starting to do it in segments, which is great. There's some progress that's there. So Bayview Avenue previously was on the list for a number of years and had partially gotten repaved, but now we're seeing it reappear again. And that's because people are starting to vote for the sections that simply haven't been repaved yet. So municipal governments have money, but they don't have all the money to do it all at once.
So you've obviously hit a sore spot. Okay, let's just change gears for a second, and we're going to talk to Larry, who's been on the line for a while. Larry has a 89 Cadillac with an ignition problem. Larry, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Dave.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
That's okay. I agree with the last caller. You got to put something better into the potholes. Anyway, I have an 89 Cadillac. I had the anti-theft thing come on, and I couldn't start the car. Now, this has been going on. I spent $1,000. They took the steering wheel off. It's a tilt. It's an extension. There's a rod that runs down to the bottom, and it turns another switch and another switch, and they can't get parts. It's a nightmare. Now the guy says, why don't I just put on a push-button start on the thing?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about these?
Well, first off, the car uses what's called an internal bus. It uses one line, a data line that goes down the center of the car, and all these computers feed into that one data line, and that goes to the main ECU.
He showed me the rod where it was wearing down that goes to the bottom, and it clipped onto something else, and then
there's nothing wrong with adding this extra button. If the parts aren't available or it's too much cost, you know, the cost is too high, just have them put that extra button on. All you have to do is activate the starter. That's all you want it to do. So I would let them do it.
Okay, then. Okay, because I spent $2,000 in the last 3 years on the thing, you know.
Is it in decent condition?
Oh, it's A1. I put it away for the winter. It's only got 40,000 miles on it. So.
Oh, it's a baby.
Get out of here. It's just a baby.
Look out. He's going to make you an offer. Look out. Dave's going to buy your car, Larry.
Actually, they're making an offer you can't understand.
It's the Eldorado, and it's two-door black.
Very nice.
I have original paint, everything. But, you know, when you had to get special tools to take off the steering wheel and this and that. Took the whole steering wheel right out, the whole thing, and showed me. And
that car's a chick magnet.
All right,
we just can't get their walkers in the trunk. All right. Thanks for the call. All righty, this is
Dave's Corner Garage, of course. I wondered if the guy remembered where everything went back together again.
It doesn't matter. He's putting the switch in.
And that doesn't start anyways. This is Dave's Corner Garage. You got a car care question? Give us a call right now.
And don't forget that we are broadcasting the show live on Facebook, so you can go to facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage and write in some questions you may have for the guys. Everybody's shy sometimes. And we're talking about potholes with Ray Chan from CAA. Dave, back to you.
Yeah, you know, by the way, we call that behind the mic. This little camera is just playing in the studio so you can see what we look like mm-hmm. and all the bad things we talk about during the breaks. Anyways, we've got Dino on the phone. He's got a pothole story I think we should hear. Dean.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Awesome.
Okay, I'll try to make it as quick as possible.
Good.
2018, January, I was driving down Keel. I'm behind a taxi. The taxi quickly stopped to turn around, make a U-turn to pick up a fare. So in order to avoid the taxi, I hit a pothole.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is I damaged my rim. I damaged my run flat tire. So a couple of days later, I found out that we could claim through the city.
Right.
So what happened was that I did. And then I called 311. They came to inspect the pothole. It was a huge one. And within a couple of days, they fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of that, because they fixed it within 4 days,
yes,
then I do not qualify for the claim. My claim was disqualified.
Right. Get out of here, yeah.
How can that be? Like, I mean, the damage happened. I didn't know I was going to get into a damage within 4 days.
Yeah.
You know what, Dino? I went online myself, and I tried to follow the recommendations, you know, the rules of, in terms of what you have to do to qualify to get it paid. And you have to be a Bay Street lawyer just to figure out, you know, how to
is
do it
right?
properly.
4 days if they fix
there's
it
there's a
days?
Long set of criteria that's out there with regards to how a claim is filled. But to my understanding, really, if that particular road has been patrolled by some of these road crews that are out there and it's deemed to be safe at the time
mm-hmm.
And it's within a certain period, regretfully, some of those claims are, in fact, denied. So I think that's what's happened in this case.
Can you take them to small claims court?
You probably could, but you need to ask yourself, is it really worth the time and the effort to do so?
How much damage was in your car, Dino?
Exactly what I want to say. It's not worth it. Well, I have to fix my rim.
Yeah.
It's it was about $250 to straighten the rim out. And then I have to buy a brand new flat, run flat tire, which was another $200.
So $500.
Dino, you got off lucky. You got off very lucky, believe me.
Interesting. Yeah. And it's not worthwhile to go to small claims court. But if
no,
I had a...
No, it's not worth the time. Even though I'm retired and I have time, but still, it's not worth it going through the whole procedure.
No, because parking downtown is $500.
Right.
Thanks for the call. Thank you. Very interesting.
Okay. Thank you. A lot.
Very good. That's interesting. Yeah, you could if it was really serious damage.
Well, I guess you could, but you... You know, if I'm going to take a day off work and then I've got to go sit there in the courthouse for like half the day and I've got to go deal with various people, is that really worth the effort? I think you need to ask yourself that, right?
No, I think any kind of effort that you have right now has to be focused on reporting the holes and, of course, calling CAA and getting on nominating the road.
The worst road.
Thank you very much.
Were you procrastinating?
Now, you were saying that... some municipalities actually have an app for doing this?
They do. So I was actually I came back from Windsor last night and I was doing some media out there for Worse Roads. And they actually have an app where you can install it on your phone. If you've come across a pothole, you can take a picture of it. It automatically geotags everything for you and it gets sent off to the city. And from there, city road crews are out within, you know, 5 to 7 days to fill that particular pothole. So that seems like it's pretty efficient to me and surprised me that a big municipality, even like Toronto here, doesn't have something
that's
like that.
Great idea.
Hey, it's a good idea, yeah.
It's like Uber Eats. Deliver your pothole right to your front door.
You got pothole? We fix pothole.
Just bring us some Thai and we're good.
Actually, we reported a pothole in front of our shop. You know what the city did? They dropped an orange cone in it.
Yeah, that's
caution, avoid the potholes.
weeks later, you know, the cone's still there, you know?
All righty. When we come back after this break, we're going to be talking with Terry Lobson from the Classic Car Auction. And we're going to talk some of the beautiful stuff that they've got down there.
And he wants yours? Does he want yours?
No, he doesn't want mine.
I think you want to buy Larry's Cadillac.
I think I'm going to.
You were drooling there for a second.
89.
89 Caddy's a nice car.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
And a push button start to boot.
You can procrastinate about that, too. Welcome back. Dave's Corner Garage is where you are. Back to Dave and Al and Ray Chan in from CAA.
Terry Lobson is on the phone from the Classic Car Auction. It's in this April coming up. Terry, when is the auction?
Hello there.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. When is the auction on? I forgot.
April 12th.
That's what I thought.
14th.
April 12th, 13th, 14th. Okay.
Yeah, it's coming quick.
It does really. You guys really impressed me because you come up with the fantastic every time. You know, some of these cars that you bring here, I've never seen at all in the marketplace. And
I know.
Some of them are, you got a GT40 that just blew my mind.
I know. That's a real special car. That's, it was, the engineering on it is fantastic. And if you think about it, it's a replica or it's a tribute car, but the detailing compared to the original. Of course, you're going to save yourself. I think the last one went for about $10 million. So this one
imagine?
Has about $200,000 invested, so you could save quite a bit of money. But it's actually a better car and probably can outperform an original one just because of the technology today and better materials and so on, performance-wise. It was built by Race Car Replicas in Fraser, Michigan.
Oh, so this is a replica. It's not the real car.
But it's got a Ford engine, Porsche transmission.
Mississauga engines do the motor on it, the custom engine on it, and it's got all kinds of options and technology that wasn't available at the time. So
let's talk about the auction. This really is just, it's a car show and it's an auction. You can walk up and touch the car. You could talk to the owner.
Everything's for sale.
Everything is for sale, exactly. Yeah. And you've also got vendors and we've got memorabilia.
Yeah, there's memorabilia there. It's kind of a one-stop shop, a kind of the kickoff for the classic car season. And you'll see cars. I think the oldest one is a 1918, so right up to some modern sports and luxury cars. So there's about 100 years of history. So it really is, as much as it is an auction, it's also a show as well. So you can get up close and see these cars, and there's some really unusual things.
How inexpensive could someone find a car there?
Well, there's cars for, say, under $10,000. You can get a great classic for, that's already done and it's maybe been to shows and awards, all the work's done, between $20,000 and $30,000. You can get yourself, say, a nice, '60s Mustang.
But you say at the same time you could find something that needs a little bit of polishing for about $10,000.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, so, under $10,000, there's a lot of, we try to fill up as many spots as we can. So sometimes collectors will say, hey, I got a few extra cars here, and can you find a spot? So it's kind of like a big parking garage. So we try to fill up all the spaces, and it creates some interest. So you have some really interesting, late model cars in there as well as the classics.
Well, so yeah, exactly. So the average Joe could actually afford to buy something because, you look at a car that they call a trailer queen, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars. You got to be a pretty high tax bracket to afford one of those.
You have a place to park it too. And a wife that understands you.
there's a lot of cars that are originals too. There's a lot of customized stuff as well. So you're saving the time by someone else has already done all the work for you. So it's really a good opportunity. It then depends on your budget and what you want to do with it.
When these cars come up for auction, are they declared? In other words, did the people have to say, specifically what the car needs, or it's not running even for that matter?
Yeah, we try to be, pass on the information that we get from the customer. I mean, there's a level of trust there. We've been working with a lot of these people that, buy and sell cars over the years. So what we do, we try to put it in, and we have mechanics and people that know the cars as well. So, as much transparency as we can. There's sometimes, you'll get a real detailed, almost a journal. They probably know their cars better than their spouses, but they'll have an incredible amount of photography if they've restored the car and the steps that they took. And that information is real important. Anything paperwork too, original paperwork can sometimes add up to 20% of the value of the car by having its documented history.
You know, what's good though, is if you wanted to get into the hobby, this is the time to buy something because we're coming into the warmer weather. Play with it during the summer and then take it back to the auction in the fall and get out of it if you want to move for something else. So
and there's enough people that are hanging around the cars and that too that know them. Any of the owners are there as well, but you can get all the information and education that you need you know, it's always fun to bring someone else with you too, that maybe, you know, if you don't know a lot about cars, but bring somebody that's got a little more information or knowledge about the particular car you're looking at.
So what are the dates again, Terry, for the show?
It's April 12th, 13th, 14th at the International Center.
And what's your website in case people want to check out some of the cars?
CCP Auctions.
Beautiful.
CCP, yeah. And I was on the website. There's six pages already there of cars.
Oh, it's great stuff.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
Dave, didn't you buy some stuff there to fix up your man cave?
Yes, I bought neon signs and I bought pumps and stuff like that.
All kinds of stuff.
We got all that stuff.
My man cave, because my wife kicked me out of the house during the day. She says you can't stay home. All righty, Terry, thank you. So it's the Classic Car Auction, and it's ccpauctions.com. Get on that page. You'll see that car. It's a 1918 Ford, I think, or something like that.
Cool.
Anyways,
got to run.
Stuff.
Overland.
All right.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back.
Which became Pontiac.
Back to Dave's Corner Garage. A few more minutes with Ray Chant from CAA and a couple more calls. Dave, over to you.
Yeah, let's quickly go to Vince in Scarborough, and I really apologize for keeping you on hold. Vince, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
How can we help you?
Yeah, my brother is not well, and he has a 2012 Toyota Matrix.
Okay.
With about 26,000 kilometers on it.
Oh, we lost him.
Well, actually...
Well, we do know that he wanted to know what the value of the car was. Are you still there?
No, he's gone.
We lost him. So he wants to know the value of a 2012 Toyota Matrix.
With very little mileage on it. Now, you said there's a website that people can actually look for that.
Okay. Vince, if you go to vmrcanada.com, so that's vmrcanada.com, your car will be listed there, and it'll give you the idea of what its wholesale value is and what its retail value is. Bearing in mind to the mileage being that low, I'm thinking it's about $4,000.
It would be the higher end for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking it's probably in the area of $4,000 in that
area. I bet you can get more for that car.
I don't know.
Come on, kids. Don't fight.
It's a 12, and it's a very desirable car.
Yeah, but we're in 2017.
2019.
Told you we're late.
All right, so tell him if he brings it down next Saturday, you'll give him $4,000 in the parking lot or what?
Not me. I'm not
Big shot. Big shot.
I got to train in my Crossfire.
I think he was procrastinating there for a second.
It's a 7-year-old car. It's
It up already.
All right.
The other thing that people can do as well is go to autotrader.ca.
Yes.
And you can find cars that are, you know, very similar to your own.
Right.
And it actually has on that site little buttons that say, are you selling? Are you trading? And you press those buttons and you can find what other people are asking. Again, keep in mind that that's an asking price. And sometimes you get people who are just shopping, you know, just
kicking tires.
Yeah. The rule is it's worth what somebody will give you.
Right.
Period.
Oh, the other advice, too, is that if the car doesn't need much to safety, he should get it certified because he's going to get more money for it that way as well.
Yeah.
Just the same way Terry was talking about, you know, if you have an older car and you itemize, you keep pictures, you keep notes, you keep your invoices to show the work that you've done on the vehicle, you're going to get more money for it as well.
And another piece of advice is you wait 2 weeks, you don't need an emissions test. Because that stopped, right?
That's right. That stops as of April 1st.
That's right. So no emissions test required.
Right.
And that sometimes can write off a nice car because you can't pass an emissions test.
So if the check engine light's on, no biggie.
Yeah. I wonder how many guys are actually driving out there with check engine lights on.
Well, that's why I see it. That's why I, as a mechanic, certainly preferred to have the emissions program because there is nothing forcing anybody to get their car in because the light's on.
Yeah, but bad the gas mileage and things like that.
Well, of course it's going to affect their gas mileage, but they think... They don't look at it that way. They just think that I'm going to go to a mechanic. It's going to cost me way too much money to get this light put out.
Yep.
I'll put a piece of tape over the light so I don't have to look at it.
Ray, we want to thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun, guys.
Good stuff. CAA, you do tons of stuff. You do travel. You do insurance. You sell batteries against us.
Yeah. We do, yeah. So we're involved, travel, medical insurance, even home and auto. And we have a thriving retail business with 35 locations across Ontario as well. So if anyone's out there looking for some travel stuff or looking to buy insurance, you can stop by one of our CAA stores.
When you say travel insurance, is like health insurance if I go out of town?
Yeah, travel medical insurance if you're going away on vacation someplace warm and you need extra coverage, we can certainly provide that for you.
And one of the things we were talking about during our introduction here was international driver's license. You actually need one to go to Europe. I didn't know that.
You do, yeah. So if you're driving anywhere basically outside of North America, you need to get a international driver's permit, which is an IDP, and it is available at any of the CAA stores across Canada, and CAA is the only Canadian provider that issues international driving permits.
I never knew that. So how much is something like that worth?
It can't be that much. I don't know.
I think it's about $35.
That's it.
We did it, and we went to we landed in Fiumicino in Rome.
Fiumicino. Would you like some Fiumicino in your pizza?
Well, we did try that, but it was a little bit bitter. And it was like there were people lined up who didn't have it.
Yeah.
And after 9 hours in a plane, your tush is falling asleep.
Yeah.
You want to get your car, and they were not happy. So you absolutely go to CAA.
Hey, you're going
to
get the international license, you get no car.
I'm talking about Rome. That's from Bulgaria, for God's sakes. And the website that kicks off the campaign, Ray, is once again?
It's caaworseroads.com, and the campaign runs from March the 26th until April the 26th this year.
Okay, big thank you to Terry Lobson from the Classic Car Auction. He's going to be on again, and we'll talk about some other great cars that they have.
We got to get Ray back. You know, we talked about so many different things that we didn't have time to talk about today.
She actually talked to him about joining us. Alrighty. Remember to keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down. And if you go to Facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage, you can actually pick up the show. It'll be there forever.
And if you get caught in one of those potholes, don't just complain. Pick up the phone.
Say goodbye, Steve.
Goodbye there, Bulgaria.
How's your Fiumicino?
It's actually a little sore right now.
Doctor, I got a Fiumicino. It's really bothering me. Thank you again. And keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.